I'm doing my very best to get to everything that Jason said. I went in order of all of his arguments and responded to them. And where I left off last time is because I ran out of time, Jason. He knows that. I was right in the middle of this chart. Let's talk about Acts 26:16. The point that I was making when it says Saul was told to rise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, washing away thy sins. Saul was told to arise. He was the one to arise. He was the one that was to get baptized. He was the one to call on the name of the Lord. You see that? He was the one to get his sins washed away. How did he do that? By being baptized and letting God wash away his sins. Preacher didn't do it. Preacher didn't wash away his sins. Okay? Now watch this. Calling on the name of the Lord, that's what he was to do. That's made equivalent to being baptized. I explained that last time. When God says you must be baptized to have your sins washed away, the way you call upon him to wash away your sins is by being baptized. You don't have to say a word. Every time, Jason, that the phrase calling on the name of the Lord is used in the Bible, every time it's used, it's talking about what the person obeying the gospel is to do. That is the one being baptized. Never what the preacher is to do. Next. I have three interlinears and a list of 18 translations of this verse, Jason. Three interlinears and 18 translations. He talks about scholars. Every scholar, every translation I know about this, translates this like the King James Version does, indicating that the one being baptized is called upon the name of the Lord. Saul, arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Who was called upon the name of the Lord? Saul or Ananias? Ananias told Saul to do it. Jason is saying that Ananias was going to do it. Jason. Saul should have said, no, Ananias, God told you to call on the name of the Lord. Don't you be telling me to do it. Jason has Ananias calling on the name of the Lord. The verse says Saul is doing it. Every translation in any linear I've ever looked at has it that way, Jason. Every one. If you've got one that's different, you produce it for me after the debate. Now, let me move on. Here's where I got to. We talked about the middle voice. The middle voice is calling on the name of the Lord. It is in the middle voice, Jason. You're confusing the middle voice with the passive voice. This is not the passive voice. This is the middle voice. Here's what the scholars say about the middle voice, Jason. The middle voice represents the subject as acting with reference to himself. Saul was the subject. He was to act with reference to himself. The middle voice represents the subject as acting in some way that concerns itself, or is acting upon something that belongs to itself. That's exactly what I was saying. That's exactly what I believe. It's the middle voice, Jason, not the passive voice. Saul was acting with reference to himself. The middle voice doesn't mean that Ananias was doing something. It means that Saul was doing something. When it says that Saul was to call upon the name of the Lord, it means exactly what the passage says. That Saul was to do it. He says Ananias was to do it. The verse says that Saul was to do it, and the middle voice says that Saul is to do it, not Ananias. Here's a good definition for calling. One of the meanings of the Greek word translated calling is to appeal to one, make appeal to the state, page 239. So when Ananias told Saul to call upon the name of the Lord, he would say, you appeal to God to get forgiveness. How do you appeal? Not verbally, by being baptized. That's what the text says. Now let's turn to Mark chapter 13, verse 6. This is where I got to in his last speech. Everybody turn to Mark chapter 13, verse 6. Take his argument one by one. I'm still toward the end of his last speech. I didn't get to all of it. Got to as much as I had time for. For many shall come in thy name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He says, that Christ isn't a proper name. It just means the Messiah. Okay, Jason, that means that many can come in the name of Jesus without saying any name. He says, this isn't a name. So you can come in the name of Jesus by just saying, I am the Messiah. You don't have to say any name. Much less the name Jesus. Now, Jason, how did that help you by saying that Christ here was not a proper name? It was just a Jamaican Messiah. How did that help you? Jason, did that answer the point? My point was, is that you can come in the name without saying the name Jesus. He said, well, Christ means the Messiah. Does Christ mean Jesus? Jason, if you had a point, if it said Christ means Jesus, he said Christ means Jesus, that Christ and Jesus just mean the same thing. Then the verse would read, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Jesus. And he had a point. He said, he's the Messiah. So, for many shall come in my name saying, I am the Messiah. So you can come in the name of Christ and say, I am the Messiah. You don't have to say Jesus. That directly contradicts your proposition, Jason. Because you said when you come, when you baptize in the name of Jesus, you have to say the name Jesus. Here he admits you don't have to say the name Jesus. You can just say, I am the Messiah. I don't see how that helps us for you. Now, let's look at Art and Gingrich on page 572. He brought this up. This is another one of his Mexicans. Mark 8. We're going to read it. You go so quickly, you don't have a chance to read it. I'm going to read it for you. Now remember, he says all these scholars agree on this. Okay? Here's what Arden Gingrich said about Acts 2:38 and Acts 10:48. This is his. You couldn't tell. I'm going to read it slowly. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, be baptized or have oneself baptized while naming the name of Jesus Christ. And who was the one that was supposed to name Jesus Christ? Be baptized or have oneself baptized while naming the name of Jesus Christ. You see that? He said that helped his position, but all the scholars agree. You see what Arden Gingrich is saying? He's saying that the one that is being baptized, not the preacher, the one being baptized is to name the name of Jesus Christ. To name the name. Now that fits my position because I believe that a person, before he's baptized, needs to confess the name of Christ. Just like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. He needs to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what Arden Gingrich is saying, it looks like to me. But it doesn't really matter to me that he agrees with me. But what does matter to me and what ought to matter to you is he put it up on his chart like it agreed with him, so he could say all the scholars agree with him. But when we read it, it doesn't agree with him. Arden Gingrich says that it means that the person being baptized is to name the name of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. Acts 8:37. So he says all the scholars agree. And we've examined three of them. He went too fast on the others. So we'll just admit all the scholars agree according to him, except we show that Thayer disagrees, Vines disagrees, and Arden Gingrich disagrees. So all of them agree with him, except Thayer, Vines, and Arden Gingrich. Those are the three most quoted and respected biblical Bible dictionary scholars in the religious community. The three most respected and quoted disagree with him. He says all agree with him. But now we've seen, we looked at three of them, the three most respected disagree with him. We've got the quotes right up here in the book. You can come up here and look at Thayer, Vines, and Arden Gingrich for yourself after the debate, and you see if all the scholars agree with him. We've got the three most respected to say they disagree with him. You can look at them with your own eyes. Now what does that mean? That means it doesn't matter what they say because Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, proves your position wrong. Now let's look at another mistake that James made. He made this, I believe, in his second speech, and I didn't get to it. He may have repeated it in his last speech. In James chapter 2, verse 7, everybody turn over. James 2, verse 7, do they not blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? Now I said, I think, though it doesn't say, I think that's talking about Christians. It's not parallel because I believe 1 Peter 4, 14 through 16. The text doesn't say what it's talking about, so I wouldn't say for sure. He sure is talking about baptism, even though baptism isn't even the whole chapter. I thought it was talking about Christians. I wasn't sure because the Bible didn't say it. He said the tense here proves it was done only one time. Jason, you know this is the aorist tense, right? He said that proves only one time. Did you know that Acts 11, verse 26 is also the aorist tense? Everybody turn to Acts 11, verse 26. Acts 11, verse 26 says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's the aorist tense. Same tense in Acts 11, 26 as it is in James 2, verse 7. Aorist tense. He says it means only one time. I suppose then that over in Acts 11, verse 26, they were only called Christians once. Now, do you see why I think that James 2, verse 7 might be talking about Christians? The word Christian means all the Christians. Since it's in the aorist tense, so is Acts 11, verse 26. And Acts 11, verse 26 definitely talks about them being called Christians. Let me say one other thing about that. I think I've got what the aorist tense means. Here's my note. Tense is aorist. Here's what it means according to the scholars. It means had been called. The number of times, Jason, is not indicated. Could have been once, could have been more. Okay? Now, let's go on to the next thing. Put up number 11. But look, we're taking care of that aorist tense thing. Same as Acts 11, verse 26. Remember that. Number 11 about man. No, Jason, I haven't spent all my time talking about Nancy. If anything, I've spent all my time talking about Colossians 3:17. I have camped on Colossians 3:17, and with good reason. Because it will prove to you, you Pentecostals, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that what Jason is affirming in this debate is incorrect. All you've got to do is read Colossians 3, verse 17. You don't need to read it, but maybe four or five times, you'll see that he's wrong. It shouldn't take more than that. He says, now he's saying, Tommy, bring up here my question that I have for him. Now he's saying, I don't know. Maybe they said Manson's name every time they murdered. He's saying now that when they murdered in Manson's name, he's saying, well, maybe they did say I murdered in the name of Manson every time. Jason, how can you keep switching about every speech? Now, in the question asked before the debate, I asked him, does this mean that the Manson's followers invoked his name orally every time they murdered his name? He said no. He didn't check that, he checked something else. He said no. And in another speech, he said, well, maybe they wrote Helter Skelter on the wall a few times. Now he's saying maybe they said the name Manson every time. First he said they didn't say the name Manson. Then he added, well, they might have said Helter Skelter. Now he's saying they might have said the name Manson. Jason, why did you switch? Why did you switch? Now, here's the reason Jason switched. Because he had to switch because he could see that the argument was proving his position wrong. He saw that. Now, let me ask you this. Would he have switched his answer? If he didn't see that it was proving him wrong, would he have switched? If it had no effect on him, he wouldn't have seen the need to switch. He would have continued to say, no, they didn't say the name Manson. He saw that this point was proving his position wrong, so he switched his answer. Now, I submit to you, he wouldn't have switched his answer if he couldn't see that the point was proving his position wrong. All I've got to do is ask you, when this says that they murdered in Manson's name, does that mean they said every time they murdered somebody, I murder you in the name of Jesus? I'll leave it to the audience. If you answer that question yes, you can go home and continue to believe what Jason believes. If you answer that question no, then you better not be at the Lighthouse Pentecostal next Sunday morning because you disagree with what Jason says. Let's move on. You can answer yourself that question just for yourself. Tell them. It'll be easy. This point proves that when you do something in his name, it doesn't mean that you say it every time necessarily. And then he says, what about, why are you bringing up these new definitions? Jason, I keep bringing up Colossians 3:17. That's right out of the Bible. Is that a good enough definition for you? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. You remember I brought up Colossians 3:17, Jason? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Now get this. This is a Bible definition. You said in the question, I asked you, was Jesus' name invoked orally every time that healing took place in the New Testament? You said no. Does Colossians 3:17 include healing? Is that something that you do in word or deed, Jason? You can answer with nodding head, yes or no. All these you answer, people, is healing, when Mr. Shield claims to heal somebody, does that come under doing something in word or deed?
I have never claimed to heal anybody in my life and leave me out of the day. Go ahead. That's a lie.
Okay. Let me ask the audience again. I'll leave that part out. When Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, does that include healing? Is healing, does that either come in under word or deed, or is it something else? I believe it does come under deed, doesn't it, at least? Comes under deed, doesn't it? Looks like to me it would. Now it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. That's the exact same phrase, Jason, is Acts 2:38, when it's from a baptism. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Healing is a deed. Jason says, with the name Jesus invoked orally every time that healing took place in the New Testament? You'd think he'd answer that yes, wouldn't you? He said no. He said no. Colossians 3:17 is talking about a number of things. It says all. He says all doesn't mean all every time. I agree with that. But does it mean healing? It includes healing, doesn't it? He says you have to say the name Jesus when you heal, though. Now, if you can't see that prisoner's position wrong, something's wrong. Colossians 3:17 is talking about healing. It says, who is the name of Jesus? He said, but you don't have to say it. When you heal, you don't have to say the name of Jesus. He knew he couldn't say that because I can show you some places in the New Testament where they healed somebody and told you what they said, but they didn't say, I heal in the name of Jesus. They didn't even mention the name of Jesus when they healed somebody. Yet Colossians 3:17 says, you've got to heal in the name of Jesus. It teaches that, yet you don't have to say the name of Jesus. That's very easy to see. Very easy. And then, he says some things that I think you will find humorous, too. I find it humorous when he talks about saying, well, you need to thank to God. Put a clock at number 3 real quickly. Just so we can show Colossians 3:17. He said that when he does a few things, I can't remember, kisses his wife, does a few of these things, nails a nail, whatever, takes up the garbage. He made a few things, I don't know if I'm getting right. He says, after he said these points, he says, thank you, God. You know what he didn't say? Thank you, Jesus. So, here's what Colossians 3:17 means according to him. You're supposed to do whatever you do, hold my time. Okay? Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, do in the name of Jesus. He says, how he obeys that is after he does some things, he says, thank you, God. You know what that means? That would mean that after, you don't have to say, I baptize in the name of Jesus. What the preacher really needs to do is after he baptizes them, He needs to say, thank you, God. He doesn't have to say, I baptize your name in Jesus. He doesn't have to say Jesus. After he's through, he needs to say, thank you, God. That's what he said. That's how he obeys Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Just like Acts 2:38, he said, after I do it, I say, thank you, God. Have you ever heard him say, thank you, God, after you baptize somebody? Is that good enough, Jason? Is that all you have to do? And then he said, sometimes I do this after I change a diaper. Sometimes after he changes a diaper, he says, thank you, God. And notice again, then, you didn't have to say thank you, Jesus. You can do something in the name of Jesus by saying thank you, God. Alright? Now he said, sometimes after. You know what that means? When you're baptizing somebody, you don't even have to say every time after you baptize, thank you, God. Okay. According to him, you can just say it sometimes. He baptizes somebody. When he baptizes them, he doesn't say anything about, I baptize in the name of Jesus. But afterwards, sometimes, not every time, he says, thank you, God. And he obeys Colossians 3:17. Jason, everything you say proves your position wrong. Put up this number 13, about 22. Or the answer number 13. Okay. Here's the thing again. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, here's his parallel. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now I ask you, which one is more parallel? I'm going to put mine up. Genesis 14:16. Remember, Matthew 28:19, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the wrong one. Hold my time. Maybe that's the right one. Is that the one of Matthew 28:19? Yeah. Maybe let me read it wrong. Yeah. You don't have my time. I'm sorry. And notice this one. And the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Jason, is that parallel? Let's just assume yours is parallel. Is this parallel? It is, isn't it? Now, this one's parallel. It's got name singular. But it's two different names. And according to that, then Matthew 28:19 doesn't prove there's only one name. Because there's two names here, yet name singular. So you can't prove anything by that. It's not even important. Put it number 21. Now, remember, here's the main point of the discussion. Not a single passage that Jason had brought up tells what the baptizer said when he baptized somebody. Not a single one. Acts 22:16, calling on the name of the Lord, was shown clearly that's what Saul wants to do. Not Ananias. Not Ananias, excuse me. Acts 15:17, doesn't have baptism mentioned in the whole chapter. Same with James 2:7. It's the era tense, just like Acts 11:26, we're talking about Christians. Mark 16:30 does talk about what somebody said. I'll admit that. Saying, I am the Messiah. You do something in the name of Christ, come in the name of Jesus, and the way you do that, according to Jason, is you say, I'm the Messiah. Doesn't mention water baptism, though. And then he brought up a bunch of passages that mention neither. Where is there one passage that he brought up that tells what the baptizer said, that mentions baptism and mentions what was said? Not a single one. Number three. And again, let me cap on Colossians 3:17. Let's just look at this. Cap number four, quickly, after that. How much time, honey? I want to leave this in your mind. I don't want you to forget this. Colossians 3:17. Please read it with me. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in the hearts of the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see that phrase, in the name of the Lord Jesus? That's the same as over in Acts 2:38. Same as in Acts 10:48. Same as in Acts 8:16, where they're all talking about being baptized in the name of Jesus. Same thing in Acts 19:5. In the name of Jesus. The Bible doesn't just teach us to baptize in the name of Jesus. It says whatever you do in order to do all in the name of Jesus. If that phrase means you have to say, I baptize in the name of Jesus, when you baptize, then it means when you do anything, you have to say, whatever you're doing, I do this in the name of Jesus. Jason? This phrase means the same thing in Colossians 3:17. It means in Acts 2:38 and those other passages. You can't answer this, can you? You said, oh, after I do something, sometimes I say, thank you, God. But that's not what he said about Acts 2:38. After you baptize somebody, is that what he means? Is that what that means in the name of Jesus, Jason, to say, after you do it, to sometimes say, thank you, God? Put up number four. Why, Jason, do you think that Colossians 3:17 means at water baptism,
we call a point of order, he will have an opportunity to answer that charge if he uses it.
Take it down, put that number three back up.
You didn't hear.
Next, why do you believe that Colossians 3:17 teaches then when you baptize somebody, you have to say, I baptize in the name of Jesus. But when mother makes lunch, which is taught by verse 18, you don't believe, you have to say, I make this lunch in the name of Jesus. You don't believe, which is in the context of verse 19, that when David kisses mother, you have to say, I kiss you in the name of Jesus. He says, sometimes after I kiss my wife, I say, thank you, God. Now, he believes that in the name of Jesus means you have to say, in the name of Jesus, when you baptize somebody. Why, Jason? Where are Jesus' sisters? Colossians 3:17. Everybody go home and read that five times, and you'll see, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that his proposition falls in this debate. Thank you very much for your time.